and bring to the bank the time of another. So the 7 points that I have, I speak 3 minutes on each of them. That's going to be a brief word. An old preacher used to tell me, if you've got enough points, if you're persecuted in one, you can flee to another. So we'll be fleeing around for 25 minutes. Now, what I'm going to speak about for a few minutes is not heavy theology, because when we come to the end of the conference, we want something cheerful and something we can go away and meditate upon. So I'm going to speak on a very unusual subject, and it's the kisses of the Bible. The kisses of the Bible. And we're going to speak of 7 of them, and I read them in the order that they appear in the Bible, and then we'll speak of them in their moral order, or the order that I see them. The first, please, in the book of Genesis. First, kisses. Genesis 45. Genesis chapter 45. Verse 13. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren. I love that word, Joseph's kiss. He kissed all his brethren. Now turn, please, to the next mention of kissing that I want to read about in the book of Exodus this time. Chapter 4. And here we have a lovely scene, but we'll just read the part that we want. Exodus chapter 4. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God, and kissed them. Here we have Aaron's kiss. It's a lovely portion, as we hope to view it a little later. 2 Samuel chapter 19. The second book of Samuel, chapter 19. Verse 39. 2 Samuel 19 and verse 39. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. The kiss of the king. Now, the Song of Songs, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. The bridegroom's kiss. Now, let us look over then into the New Testament for 3 more, in the order that we find them. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 48. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and he kissed him. The kiss of the betrayer. Now, Luke chapter 7. Here's something that should really touch our soul. Verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, but she was a sinner saved by grace before she came in. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And I often think of the words of the Lord Jesus here when he said, thou gavest me no water for my feet, thou gavest me no kiss. I wonder would that be ever said of any of us when we had come to worship, that he would look at us and say, thou gavest me no kiss. Oh, may God grant that we may have the kiss of the worshiper. Now, Luke 15, the last one, and yet it's the first that we'll speak about. Luke chapter 15. And this one never fails to touch the affections of our hearts. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, or was moved with compassion, and ran and fell on his neck. And I like the revised reading, he kissed him much. Dear brethren, these are the kisses of the Bible. May the Lord bless his word. Now for a few minutes, to keep my promise to leave plenty of time for another to be exercised, I want to say something about these kisses of the Bible. A kiss is a mark of deep affection. A kiss is a sign of truest relationship and intimacy. And so we have read a number of these delightful, most of them delightful, one of them sad, the kisses of the Bible. Now every one of us, I trust here, has received the first kiss. The kiss of the Father. It takes us back to the day of our salvation. You know, I believe that the memory of the Father's first kiss would be ballast in his vessel. This prodigal, when afterward he would have thoughts of the far country, and thoughts of the life that he had once lived. And while we are in the flesh, there are always tendencies to backslide. The Corinthians fell into the very sins from which they were delivered. And we have always got to be on guard against the old sin that marked us in our unconverted days. But you know, one of the things that's ballast in the vessel, the remembrance of the warm kiss that we got at the beginning. The Father's kiss. My, what a day that was for this prodigal, when he came with his head down and his mind filled with his confession. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And the Father saw him and was moved with compassion. It's the only time, I think, that we see a picture of God in a hurry. He ran. When you see an old man running, you know there's earnest business to be conducted. He ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him much. We'll never forget the first kiss we got. The kiss of the Father tells us of the forgiveness of all our sins. But now I want to come to kiss number two, and I have called it the kiss of the bridegroom, the kiss of communion. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have sweet communion with the Lord Jesus? It's a delightful thing to hold communion with fellow believers and to converse with them and to enjoy the kisses of their mouth, the messages of affection and thoughts that they would give us that they have gleaned as we've been hearing from the Word of God. We thank God for brethren that have given us sweet meditation from time to time. But there's something, a secret, that we all need to know more about. And what is it? A kiss from the mouth of the bridegroom. Can you say his mouth is most sweet? Is it long since you got a kiss from the heavenly bridegroom when he made known to you a sweet promise from his word, that was all for you? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You'll never get a kiss from the bridegroom if you're not faithful to him. The bridegroom only kisses the faithful, and he brings sweet messages of his mouth to the hearts of his own. We would have more worship publicly if we knew more of the kisses privately. And so we have the kiss of the bridegroom. But now number three that I want to speak about is the kiss of a brother. A brother's kiss. I love that word in the book of Exodus chapter 4. Moses is going to go through with the greatest service that he has ever rendered. He's going to stand in the presence of Pharaoh. He has got to see the people of God delivered. He has work to do. And he feels his weakness. But isn't that a lovely thing to see that his fellow laborer that's going with him, Aaron, met him in the mount of God, and he kissed him. It's the affection of fellow laborers. Dear brethren, we've been enjoying that in this conference. Do you know what makes for good conferences? Unity on the platform will affect the brethren that are in the pew. If those who labor together can't kiss one another, then we're bound to have disunity among the saints. May the Lord grant that we might treasure the kiss of our fellow laborers. I love to think of Moses and Aaron, and they're going out to the world. They're going out into the presence of a heathen monarch. But on the Mount of God, they kiss one another. Lovely to go to a Bible reading, and you kiss your brethren before your God. You know, if we're in a Bible reading and we're waiting to stick the dagger in a man, there'll be no joy in that. But if we can kiss one another in all our ministry, God will be glorified. I believe that that's a God-honoring thing, to see the brethren kiss. Now, the next one I want to speak about is the kiss of brotherly love. This is more general than the kiss of fellow laborers in Genesis 45. I noticed this the other day, and it touched my heart, that Joseph desired to be spoken about on two occasions. On the first occasion, he desired to be spoken about to the Egyptians. And so he said to the butler, "Make mention of me to Pharaoh." He desired to be spoken about to the father. And he said to his brethren, "Tell the father of all my glory." I have put those two together. That the Lord Jesus desires that we should tell the father of his glory. And tell the world of his blessed Saviorhood, the one who died and rose again. We go out to make mention of him when this conference is over. As royal priests, we go out to make mention of his name to an Egyptian world. God grant that we may not forget to do it. But thank God we go into the Father to tell him of all the glory that he had in the land of Egypt. But in order that the might be able to relate the glory of the monarch of Egypt, they went with the kisses warm upon their cheeks. Dear brethren, I can tell the Father of the glory of the man when I feel the warmth of his love. You'll never tell the Father of the glory of a Joseph if you haven't got the kisses of Joseph on your heart. He kissed all his brethren, and they went to the Father with the warmth of his love and the fragrance of his name about them. He kissed all his brethren. A lovely thing to be able to kiss all your brethren. As Joseph approached some of them, they were harder to kiss than others. Some of the brethren are not easy kissed. One time I had a tent in the city of Glasgow, and after it was over, there was a brother came up. He was thrilled with a meeting. And he threw his arms around me and he gave me a kiss. But he had a very strong mustache. And the next time he came up to kiss me, I said, "I want no more of your brush. No more of the brush." He was hard to kiss. Dear brethren, there's some of our brethren are hard to kiss. As Joseph approached some of them and thought of how they mocked him in the pit, and how they ate their bread so callously as he suffered, and as they sold him into the hands of the Ishmaelites, it was hard to kiss them. It was easier to kiss Benjamin than any of the others. But the Bible says he kissed all his brethren. Why did he do it? He loved the Father. It illustrates the first epistle of John. If we love him that hath begotten us, we love them that are begotten. And we love the brethren, not because of what they are, but we love them because of to whom they belong. They belong to the Father. And Joseph saw them in the eyes of Jacob. And he embraced them, every one, kissed all his brethren. May God grant that when they leave this conference, kissing all our brethren, I don't mean literally, but I mean kissing them in our heart's affection. Now, the next one I want to speak about for a few minutes is the kiss of worship. I love that scene in Luke chapter 7. It touches my heart. I believe that I'm right in saying that this incident, chronologically, follows the invitation of Matthew chapter 11 and 28. When the Savior said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That woman, she came. She wasn't saved because she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment and wiped them with the hairs of her head and shed tears before the blessed Savior. She was saved before she came in. She had had her many sins forgiven, and her heart was warm to the person of Christ, and she came as a worshiper. Brethren, when do we start to worship on the first day of the week? I have heard brethren saying, we'll open our worship meeting with a certain hymn. I can't subscribe to that, because the worship meeting is never open. As soon as two or three sit down, the Lord is there. In fact, I believe the Lord is there first. He's waiting for us to come. And when we gather around him, before the hour appointed has arrived, when audibly we commence to participate in the worship, we should sit down and worship him quietly there. It's not an occasion for leaping through the hymn book to find your favorite hymn. And it's not an occasion to look around to see what kind of a hat Mrs. Black has on. It's an occasion when we'll be occupied with the Lord Jesus from the moment, "This woman, since I came in, hath not ceased." This woman answers to 1 Corinthians 11. She had her glory. She answers to 1 Corinthians 14. She never said anything. She's silent in the presence of Christ, and she leaves her glory at his feet. And there in the presence of the Lord Jesus, her eyes began to melt with tears. And she bent down at his feet, and she kissed him. I believe that that was present to him when he hung on the cross. When men put the nails through his feet, there was a woman that had kissed his blessed feet. And he appreciated it. Did you ever kiss him? As a worshiper. May the Lord warm our hearts to worship him ere we leave. Now in Matthew 26, it's a sad kiss. "The one that I kiss is he. Hold him fast." Outwardly, it's the token of affection. But inwardly, it was a kiss of a betrayer. Dear brethren, I hope that when we leave this conference, we'll leave with an honest heart. God looks upon our heart. It's heart work that really counts. We read of Amaziah that he served the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And we would like to have our hearts right with God. And right with one another, that we may not profess to love him, and in works deny him. Judas was a betrayer. Now the last one is the kiss of the king. I love that, 2 Samuel 19. It's the return of the king. Speak ye not a word of the king coming back. And we are looking for the king. Wouldn't it be a lovely note to end this conference on, thinking of the return of the Lord Jesus? He's coming soon. Maybe there's someone here and you're feeling that you're old and the journey is nearly over. And maybe you're here and you think, I not belong for this world. I was over at Longport some time ago, and there was a large company of these elderly believers. I don't call it the old folks' home. But they were elderly Christians, and they were waiting, and they were standing around. And this young man had come down to visit his parents, and he said to me, isn't it sad to see them just waiting to go to heaven? So there they're waiting to go in for a supper. That's what they're waiting for. They had no thought of going to heaven. They were waiting for their supper, and waiting for the Lord to come. Whenever I meet with elderly ones, I try to encourage them with the blessed truth that they may never have to go by the way of death. I used to preach with a brother in Ireland, and one day we were out, and we came along to a cemetery by the road, and he said, I want to take you in here to show you around this cemetery. And I thought he was going to show me where the old preachers lay, their bodies, and where faithful men that went before were lying waiting for the coming of the Lord. But we went to the back of that little cemetery, and we came to a place there, and he lifted a little tray. It was a beautiful day, and he said, isn't that lovely tray? How do you like it? I said, I don't like it at all. Well, he said, I bought a burying ground here for my wife and I, so there'd be no difficulty when we were back. And I wanted you to see it, for I know if you're a good businessman. What do you think of it? I said, well, I'll tell you, this is my advice. Sell it and divide the proceeds between thee and me. Take the half. You're wasting your time buying a burying ground. Why, he said, why, we're looking for the morning star. Here, brethren, we're waiting for the king and for the bridegroom. And Barzillai was an old man, but he had given to David death. He had given him a resting place, and he gave him basin and cheese. And in this conference, we have had cheeses, and we have had butter, and we have had many things presented to us both in the cafeteria and in the upper cafeteria. It has been good feeding all the way through. And Barzillai is an old man. And the king has come back. But he remembers the kindness of Barzillai on the day of his rejection. And I love those words. The king kiss Barzillai. It's the kiss of reward. Dear brother, and I hope that we'll all hear when Moody was preaching, some of the congregation said to him, why don't you study and get your DD? He said, I am studying. And what are you studying for? He said, I'm studying for the WD. And what's it? Well done. Well done. I'll never be a DD. I could be if I wanted, but I don't want to be a DD. Maybe that is. But I would like to have the WD. Well done. The kiss of the Master. The kiss of the Great King. God grant that we might enjoy these few scriptures. And that someone could put a top on the conference. God doesn't have.